All right. First question of the night. Your favorite NMSU jersey that you wore throughout your career?
I think it had to be my fourth year black vest. Mm. When I think, I don't know what exact design on it, but the vests were pretty elite.
Did you get to choose your like unders, or did you guys change them throughout the season?
They gave us a couple undershirts, like a little three-quarter or just a regular undershirt, but they're like more tight-fitted, so it looked pretty cool.
Okay, very cool. Yeah. All right, so Kevin, you were actually a part of an era where NIL deals were introduced. So you were pre-NIL and post-NIL, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what was your experience with that, and did you get any offers with NIL?
Yeah, my last year at New Mexico State, 8 Mile Sports reached out to me, and they said that they wanted to do a little NIL deal, which was pretty cool. And one of the best things to do is like kind of represent Las Cruces and your school and stuff like that. So I was all in on that, and they're able to help me pay for some of my tuition, you know, some room and board and stuff. So it was pretty cool.
Really?
Yeah.
So it was, what did you have to do for it? Anything?
Just have to, I mean, answer whatever like questions that they have, like through the phone or whatever. And then, I mean, I met with them a couple of times, but it was nothing like anything crazy, you know.
They never took your picture or
did any videos? we'll take pictures. And then whenever they would post stuff, like our New Mexico State baseball Twitter page would post stuff, and then they would like reply with it. So I just kind of just reply to their stuff, just like,
okay,
you know, just adding fuel, you know.
So it wasn't a lot of like work on your part?
No, not too much. Cool. Not too much, but it was, I'm very grateful for it though.
Yeah. What's going on, guys? Welcome to the All Sports Best Podcast. I'm Trey Gonzalez. Today we're here with a very special guest, Kevin Jimenez, of the Northern Colorado Owls and formerly a New Mexico State baseball player as well, which I'm excited to talk about, something that we have in common. Today, our sponsor is Lucky Bull Grill, so we really appreciate them and the fact that they are open on Saturdays for lunch and dinner now, so definitely check that out. Today I have a Santa Fe Brewing Company 7K IPA, and as you can see, I've already been working on it. It is delicious and ice cold here at Lucky Bull Grill. All right, Kevin, let's go ahead, and I wanted to talk to you about some of the teammates that you had in your career. You had some incredible teammates. Mm-hmm. From talking to you before the podcast, some guys that you love, but also some guys that we might recognize from the big leagues now. Yeah. So you got a chance to play with these big leaguers. Did you know, like, okay, these guys are going to make it big? Or was it like, all right, our whole team just kind of grinds and anybody could do it?
No, yeah. I mean, the two guys that stand out for me are Nick Gonzalez and Joseph Ortiz. Joey's from California, Nick's from Vail, Arizona. So when I was about 8, 9 years old, his dad started a travel team. So I played with Nick from when I was small. And the way the bat was sound off his bat with wood, it was different. So yeah. You know, it was different. So that was also one of the big and coolest things of him being at New Mexico State and me like also committing and you know, playing at New Mexico State is knowing how good this kid was and how much better he was going to continue to get and just being able to learn from him when I was there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So can you explain to me, because I've actually heard that. It's funny. An athletic trainer here in Carlsbad, I think he was actually there when you were there, Luke Archuleta.
Yes. Yeah.
So he told me the same thing. He's like, when you hear that guy get a hold of a baseball, it was different.
Yeah.
What does that even mean? Like, can you kind of explain it to somebody that doesn't know?
Yeah, it's just like he's, well, maybe 5'10", maybe 5'10". And you see all these other big dudes hitting balls, and you're just like, wow, this guy has, they're just strong dudes, raw power. But the way Nick was swinging at his bat speed, it was just different. Like, I don't even know how to explain it, but it was like putting balls over the trees just with ease, you know? And ever since we were smaller, it's just, that's how it's been for him.
And then as far as Ortiz goes, what was it about him that you kind of could see, you know, greatness in there?
Yeah, his defense. Like, it was a magician on the field.
Wow.
Third, short, second, wherever you throw him. Like, obviously, that's one of his big attributes. But his bat-to-ball skills were elite, too. Mm. And it took him, you know, to get to the Orioles. He got drafted by the Orioles. And just him going and developing there and just showing that he could do it both ways at an elite level. And it's obviously showing now. He got traded to the Brewers.
Yeah.
Got involved in that Corbin Burns trade. So it's like, it's a big name for prospects, so I expect him to do great things over there in Milwaukee too.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Did Bradish, was Bradish in the system when you got there?
No, he was a year before. Okay. Yeah, I got you. Year before.
All right, so I wanted to know a little bit about kind of the teams that you played on. You had a chance to play on five years of teams. Mm-hmm. You were part of the COVID year where you kind of got an extra year.
Yeah.
So can you tell me a little bit about just kind of the way that year unfolded and then realizing, oh, you know, I actually get an extra opportunity?
Yeah, I mean, obviously our COVID year, I think we ended the season maybe, 12-4. Nick was still on that team. It was just a well-around, you know, baseball team that I thought would be able to do big things, come WAC tournament, come regional time, but obviously, you know, life happened, got cut short, but, you know, being able to bounce back, I knew New Mexico had a lot of guidelines and rules that we all had to follow, and New Mexico State did a really good job of doing all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a weird transition, but once we got into the role of things, of practicing and just doing our normal things, it just made it easier as, you know, year by year.
Sure.
There at New Mexico State, yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about, you know, the different eras that you were a part of. You went through two different coaches, right? You got to play for two different coaches?
Yeah,
two different head coaches.
Two different head coaches.
But probably, what, 10 different coaches total maybe?
About, yeah, every
with
their staff, and, their staff comes, yeah. Leaves, yeah.
Yeah. So can you tell me about both of the, like, what was the difference in the two eras?
Yeah. I mean, when I committed to New Mexico State, I committed to Brian Green, obviously turned that program around, had some really good players come out of there, a lot of professional, you know, players who got either signed or drafted that played under him. And, you know, him leaving was a bummer, you know, because, like, he knew what he was doing. He knew what he was talking about, all that stuff. And obviously we had a transition to, you know, a new coach and all that. And obviously a transition is tough, especially like when you commit to one person and then another person comes and takes charge, you know, it's a little different, but
yeah.
I think I was able to, you know, handle everything the right way and just respond to, you know, what happened and all that. But it was fun. The past 5 years are really fun.
Yeah. All right, so I actually wanted to hear a little bit about your kind of your origin story, coming out of high school, going to college, signing to New Mexico State. But we were talking about it. Your first few games, you almost had to make a decision between playing your first year and not playing your first year. Can you walk me through that?
Yeah. So my freshman year, two games in, Coach Green calls me into his office, and we're just talking, and he was like, "Hey, I think the best option for you is to redshirt right now." And I kind of just caught me by surprise, but I was like, hey, like, I'm here to prove myself. Like, I know I could do this. You know I could play with these guys and, you know, prove that I belong here, you know?
Yeah.
So once he heard that, it was more like, all right. He's like, maybe you get a shot, get a start at DH. Literally word for word, he told me. He's like, maybe you get a start at DH, and who knows from there, he told me.
Sure.
And
so you just gambled on yourself.
Yeah, gambled. And this was two games in. He told me this after game one of a doubleheader on a Saturday. And it just kind of shocked me. And I was just like, whoa, you know what I'm saying?
You're like, coach, I'm trying to get food with the rest of the team.
Yeah.
Dropping this on.
Yeah, I'm about to have some lunch. You know, I'm hungry. Maybe I get a good start game three. You never know.
Yeah.
So, you know, that happened. And I got my, you know, pinch hits here and there. But it was nothing crazy. And then maybe about like 20 games in, I got my first start. I think it was at Chicago State, really cold, freezing.
Yeah.
Went 0-for. Didn't start until the next weekend against GCU, I believe, Friday. Went 0-for again. So I'm like, damn, like, I need to find a way to respond. Like, he's giving me these opportunities to prove myself, but I need to respond and, you know, help this team.
Yeah.
Saturday came along, didn't play. Sunday came along, came in with a pinch hit. I think it was an RBI single. Either it broke the tie or it gave us like a run lead or so, I don't know what, or a two run lead. I don't really remember, but ever since that game, he trusted me at the DH spot, right-handed pitcher, left-handed pitcher. And I was able to play every single game from there.
Wow. That's crazy. Yeah. So what would have happened? He would just redshirted you and expected you to be back next year, not sent you anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I, who knows? I mean, maybe right. At that point in time, it's like, do I belong here? Do I need to, you know, go JUCO and kind of prove myself again? It was just a different time in my life, you know, being the guy, you know, everyone's always the guy in high school,
right,
you know what I'm saying? And then once college comes, like, everyone's the guy there, you know what I'm saying? So it took me a little bit to really understand that. But once I really heard that from him, it kind of just like hit something different in me where I just needed to, you know, respond the right way.
What drove your confidence? Because something like that, you don't just go, okay, well, if it's okay with you, coach, you're kind of having to say, I'm going to prove myself, coach.
Yeah.
Like, where did that confidence come from? Was it because of your success prior, or did you have people around you that made you think, make you know?
Yeah, well, the two guys we just mentioned before,
okay.
Nick and Joey. I mean,
wow.
the type of relationship I still have with them now, and just the way that they kind of, you know, transformed me into a different player, different mindset and stuff like that. Like, those two were my corner from day one. And Coach Green was as well. You know, he just wanted to see just more from me, which I understood. You know, and just having those two guys was, you know, a blessing and helping me get out of like a little hole that I thought I was never going to get out of, you know, but them just being there telling me to continue going, like, trust the work you continue to put in and, you know, just keep going. Yeah. Literally.
So let's fast forward to I think it was your senior year when you had the postseason push.
Yes.
That had absolutely no business being there.
Yeah.
Right. So like watching this, just obviously rooting on the Aggies any chance we get. You guys came out of the conference tournament. You almost shouldn't have been at the conference tournament to begin with, and then almost upset a top team in the nation. Can you kind of what was that like? I mean, that's insane.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, a lot of ups and downs during the season, you know, with other teams too. You know, like, we go through stuff like that, and I think that came down to our last weekend series against Utah Valley, and we had to win two. We had to win the series to advance to the WAC tournament. Mm. And that week, we had a midweek game against UNM, got destroyed by, like, I think 10 runs. And I'm just like, dang, are we going to pull this off or not?
Yeah.
And I think it just, like, I don't know what clicked for us, but it was just something that was so sudden that all of us realized at that point in time. And that Utah Valley game, we're down 7 runs in the top of the 9th inning. And wow. I think I led off with a double, and then kept on hitting. I remember Logan Galena was on, I don't know, he was hitting, but I was like, if our continues to push, like, we have a chance of winning this game.
Down seven in the ninth.
And then we got runners on, I believe, second and third. Mm-hmm. I'm up to bat again, 2 outs. And work a good at bat. Guy fists me, hit a blooper over third base. The shortstop runs, and the ball freaking just goes right behind him.
Wow.
And 2 run score. We take the lead. I get thrown out at second, but it's, like, crazy, crazy. Our guy, Alex Bustamante, came in. I remember he was in the bullpen, and he was ready. Like, once we got, like, within 3 runs, he sprinted to the bullpen. Sprinted to the bullpen, started getting loose.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, looking out because I had just gotten thrown out at second, so I'm taking off my stuff, and I'm just looking into left field, and this guy – pushes through the whatever, the fence.
Yeah.
And the thing just ricochets and hits him back in his leg like nothing happened. Just walking. goes in, 1-2-3, win that game.
Wow.
I think we win the next game by like 6-7 runs. So we're like, dang, we're in it. We're in the tournament. We end up losing the last game by like 3 runs, but then once we got into game 1 of that WAC tournament, it's what we got to lose. We proved that we could do it, you know what I'm saying? And going in and beating the number 1 team in our I think it was number 2 or number 1. I'm not too sure, but Sam Houston State was really good that year. Took them down, took Sac State down, or UTRGV down, Sac State down, and then Abilene Christian, which was it was crazy.
That is crazy.
It was insane.
Going into the last in as a last seed, so you had to play like the best teams back to back.
Yeah, first round we're playing the top team in the tournament. Let's go. Yeah.
Dang.
Crazy. Crazy time.
So let's move on to Oregon State. You guys move on to the regional.
Yeah.
In Oregon State at, I forget where it's, what's the?
Corvallis, yes.
So you go to Corvallis, you play Oregon State, you guys put them in extra innings.
Yeah.
What was that? Because I know when I was watching it and kind of just, you could watch it on TV, but then there's also social media updates. And I mean, you're all over it. Mm. All your guys are on it. And it's just like constant, so much promotion going towards New Mexico State, not just the local accounts, but ESPN, you know, all these big accounts. So walk me through that game and then like what happened after.
Yeah. I mean, when we first got there, we had a day to practice. So we got the whole day to practice and then just kind of just be to ourselves. And when we first just step on the field, you see all the NCAA, like, regional signs all over painted on the grass and stuff like that. So cool. It's like, wow, like, we really did this thing, you know what I'm saying? And then it was like from reaching to like the last series to clinch to get into the WAC tournament. But we get there game 1 and we're facing Cooper Jerpy, first rounder with the Cardinals, and lefty side armor. He's dealed all Pac-12 pitcher of the year, everything. And we just came in with a good plan, just, hey, like, get the ball up and just drive it into the ground because that's how other teams are beating them. And, you know, I think he had maybe 4 or 5 hit batsmen that game, and he probably had like 4 hit batsmen all game or all year.
Yeah.
But it was wet. Like, the turf was wet. It was raining. It was like, it was a cool, like, experience, just like with how the fans are. Like, the fans are like right on top of you and stuff. Mm-hmm. And just when we went into the, I think we went into the 8th inning down 2, and we ended up, I think, scoring 2 or something, and we went up 4-3. It was like, wow, like, we need like 6 more outs and we're going to take down a number 3 team in the nation. Like, that's crazy. So just throughout the whole game, just the ups and downs, and just, it was just insane. And especially on primetime ESPN at 7, 8 p.m. at night, you know, like, this team's about to upset, New Mexico State's about to upset Oregon State in the NCAA regionals. Like, it was just a really cool experience. And then Ian Mejia, man, he went all out for
us.
He
was dealing, yeah.
Dealing. He went all out for us. Like, that's when you know, like, a guy's there for the boys, you know? Like, he got drafted, obviously. Like, he had something to look forward to in the future. Like,
yeah.
But he still went out there and threw 125 pitches, you know what I'm saying, for us, you know? And, like,
yeah.
And, like, it was, like, admirable because that's my best friend, my roommate and stuff. So I'm like, damn, like, you really did that for us, man. Like, that was pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember watching that and, of course, corresponding with my brother back and forth. We love watching that kind of stuff, especially from the Aggies. But we were watching and we're just like, they got to pull him soon, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you can't let this guy get hurt, you know, those types of things. And we're trying to manage the game from our couches, you know, and
it
was a lot of fun. But I think, yeah, like you said, it was prime time and to the point where another game finished and I think they threw it on to another probably. Network. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, do you have that recording?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. My pops, he recorded it, I think, before he went out there. And I was like, hey, go on ESPN real quick, record it. And I think I watched it this winter break. I went back and watched it. So then it's kind of where you could look at, like, different points in the game where it's like, dang, like, if we would have done this right, we would have won this game. And I'm like, just looking at it, it's like kind of tough. But
so
like,
hard,
we gave them our all, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, we gave the Pac-12 pitcher of the year his money's worth, you know?
No kidding. Yeah, that was wild. So talk to me about after that game. Obviously, you guys got a lot of recognition for that. I could be wrong. He might have already been in the books ready to get drafted at the time he did, but I feel like Mejia improved his draft stock because of that.
Oh, 100%.
So what came of it for all of you? Anything else come of it for you?
I mean, it was just, I mean, obviously the recognition, like, for New Mexico State and stuff like that. And, like, for me, personally, it was more like I came to New Mexico State with one goal, and it was to win a conference championship and go to a regional. Like, I wanted to experience that because New Mexico State had been doing that the past couple of years, you know? Like, they were competing with teams. They went to a regional. I saw it on TV. Like, I wanted to be on one of those teams representing New Mexico State like that.
Yeah.
Like, the pride and that I had in New Mexico State when I was there, and I still do, obviously.
Sure.
It's just I wanted that for our program, you know what I'm saying? And it was pretty cool for me because that was, like, one of those goals that I set prior to even coming to New Mexico State. Like, this is what I wanted to do, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. That was just a wild experience for
crazy,
sure.
Crazy, crazy.
All right, so when you get to that point, you have gear, you have experiences that you look back on, but, like, when I'm talking about gear, I'm talking about gear that you trust. What was the hottest bat in the dugout in that time period that you're just like, I got to have it in my hand? If this thing's gone, I don't know if I've got it.
Dude, crazy story real quick. For three years, we swung an Anderson Widowmaker.
Yeah.
Which was crazy. We're probably the only team in the nation swinging that bat.
I had never heard of Anderson until I saw y'all's promos.
Yeah, me neither. But once things took a turn, you know, coaching changes and stuff, we're able to use the bats that we wanted. So I went to a Voodoo 1, 34, 31, and that bat was elite. DeMarini, really
DeMarini,
good.
DeMarini, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and what would you say it was a 33-31?
No, it was a 34-31. So I even went up an inch that
Holy
year, too.
Holy smokes, dude. You were swinging a lot.
Yeah, I choked it up a little bit. But it was light enough to swing and to get more, like, whip on your your swing. So it was pretty nice.
So there was more pop in that than the Anderson?
Yeah, yeah. Or the 100%. Andersons, yeah,
100%. I was going to say, I heard the Andersons were pretty good, though.
I mean,
were they overhyped?
They're bats. They're baseball bats. But it's like, there's, you see these teams, like, they're using legit bats, and these balls are going 450 feet. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Nick Gonzalez didn't have a problem with Anderson, still hit 12 homers.
He turned it around. He had his hands on the barrel.
Yeah, just doing – he was trying to find his ways to, you know, make it comfortable for himself and all that. But, you know, at the end of the day, it is a bat. But, like, I just think using those Louisville DeMarinis and all that, they got a little extra punch in them.
Yeah, that's different for sure. Yeah. Absolutely. All right, gloves throughout your career. When I went to state, they would give. We were sponsored by or partnered with Wilson for gloves, and then the bats were, I think, DeMarini, and then our gear was Adidas. All older stuff. Like they never gave us the best stuff. But when you guys got there, no gloves.
Yeah, like I think. So my freshman year we had Easton, because that's when Coach Green was there and we were swinging Easton and stuff. So I do remember we did get Easton gloves that my first year.
Okay.
But the rest of the years we didn't really get our gloves locally. Nick Gonzalez has hooked me up the past couple of years. He gave me a glove probably like 3 years ago, and I just got done with it. And now he just sent me a brand new one a couple days ago. So that's pretty cool.
Well, that is cool. Yeah. So you're saying, so you said that was like year three, right?
Yes.
When he year sent three. You the, when so he what sent about me. Year two? You just used. The Easton?
I did not use the Easton. I think it was still Rawlings, but it was my glove that I had still. But then once that ripped, Nick had already sent me one and stuff. I started using that one. That's cool.
So when you get a chance to choose whatever glove on the market, giving it to you right now, what would you pick?
A Rawlings. Really? Hard of the Hide. Yeah.
Okay.
Those are the two that he supplied me with, and they're definitely the best gloves that I've ever had.
And he just gets those for free, or he?
Well, his agent and stuff like that, like whatever they got, deals he's got going on, sponsorships and stuff like that. But to me, he's the best agent in the game, hooking me up with all this stuff, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. What would you say, outside of some of the moments that we talked about, obviously the regional and stuff like that, what were some of the experiences that you look back on and remember the most as an Aggie?
I mean, probably the road trips are definitely a huge one. A couple of my boys that are on the team right now, they just flew out to McNeese. They're about to go play a weekend series out there, and I'm like, dang, like, if I could have one thing back, one more road trip with the boys, get on a flight, so much fun, you know. Yeah. And then you go to a place where it's different, you know, you got to get comfortable real quick because you're playing a three-game series against another team, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, the road trips are definitely one of the things that I miss. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where's McNeese State? Is it in Tennessee?
Might somewhere? Either Tennessee or Louisiana. Okay. Around there, maybe. I think one of my boys posted a story, and I think it said Louisiana, but I'm not too sure. Go. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. No, that's for sure. And you guys always flew everywhere that you went, right? You didn't have to worry about buses.
No, a couple of times we got on a – or actually my last year in New Mexico State, we got on a bus to Houston from New Mexico State, which was like 16 to 17 hours, played a tournament out there. And then I think a couple of times we drove out to Texas A&M.
What College happened?
Station. I don't know.
What?
I don't know.
16 hours, D1?
Yeah. Yes. And wow. In New Mexico State's, you know, fun, you know, we don't got that Power 5 money and stuff So we got to find our ways to, you know, kind of cheat the system, loop and stuff like that. But, we had a couple. But it's like, it's still fun looking back on it, because it's like, you still have some memories of those bus trips with the boys. Yeah. Even though they sucked.
I was going to say, like, dude. They're brutal. 5 hours in, I'd remember. Yeah. The next 11, I'd be pretty bummed.
Yeah, no, I get you.
That's cards funny. Or what you guys do on the bus ride like that?
I don't know. I mean, just talk and just kind of, you know, mingle within each other and stuff like that. Like, that was always the fun stuff. Like, we played Mafia. And that's just like, Mafia's the Mafia is just like a little bus game that a lot of, you know, teams play and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, stuff like that.
Yeah. Did you guys at least have chargers on the bus?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, that's good. I don't know how bus drivers do it, dude.
Yeah, I know.
Seeing a guy, because it's one dude, he doesn't have relief.
No, it's just one dude. I don't know how they, props to them, man.
No kidding. Because
they could drive through the 9 and stuff. I'm just like, thanks for getting me home safe.
No kidding. You know? Yeah, it's almost scary.
Yeah.
What was your best road trip experience off the field?
Off the field?
Did you have anything that sticks out that you're just like, I remember that?
Oh, going to... I mean, I don't say it's a road trip, but there's that White Sands, you know, that national park out there in Las Cruces.
Uh-huh.
Going out there with the boys a couple of times was always fun. Like, that's a little road trip, like an hour and a half road trip, and it's just, like, complete white sand. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, you could do whatever you want out there, but it was more like the experience just getting out there, getting away from, the school atmosphere, baseball, you know, just kind of just be free and just kind of, you know, live our lives, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So yeah. that was pretty cool.
Yeah. So a lot of, when you said white sand, I thought you were going to say something about like taking pictures and stuff like, cause it is beautiful out
yeah.
there.
Yeah. I know the football team took some pictures out there like to promote the season and all that, which is pretty, it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you guys had some really cool promos as well. Mm-hmm. I know you have about, I don't know, I've saw at least 50 of you, mm-hmm. You know, getting honors, different awards and stuff that through the WAC mm-hmm. Conference. And what were those photo shoots? Was it all just one day, or would they say, hey, we're going to go a couple times throughout the year and get mm-hmm. shots in the studio? Or how did you get all those social media shots?
I think it was probably like a 2-day thing, but they'd be kind of spread out. So it'd be like one day to be the whole team and just kind of take pictures with your gloves, your bats and all that. And then like the guys who I'm pretty sure they project to like be on there, I guess a lot. I mean, I don't really know, but like there'd be like 5-6 of us staying there doing different stuff.
Cool.
Just to promote, you know, promote New Mexico State and all that. But they've been doing a pretty good job. I know this year they've been doing a really good job with promoting the baseball, like making video and stuff like that. So it's been pretty cool.
Yeah, they have been doing really cool stuff. Yeah. Some of their graphics are insane too. But yeah, I one of the things that pops into my mind seeing you guys on your promos and stuff was, to me, the coolest jerseys that you guys had was the Los Aggies.
Oh yeah,
those were so sick.
They were sick.
So I remember getting like seeing all those promos. Mm-hmm. But all right, what's the craziest thing that's ever happened with you or around you at the university? Was there anything? Because there's some scandals that have been going on at New Mexico State.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
Luckily. Luckily the baseball team and has never like been around that and stuff like that. Yeah. And I mean, we did get involved with it just because it was a sport thing. So they just wanted to make sure every sport was okay. And just like there wasn't any of that stuff going on.
Sure.
But there was a couple of times where we'd pull up to an airport and we're about to leave on a Thursday and our flight's either the next day or we didn't have a flight.
Really?
Dude, we did that.
Somebody just dropped the ball in the travel?
Yeah, I guess whoever the third party agency that we've had, like, has screwed up a couple of times where we were supposed to fly to Cal Baptist for a weekend. We were supposed to fly out Thursday. Flight got canceled. Flew out Friday early in the morning. So drove back to El Paso, and then flew out, played right then and there. And then I don't know what happened. We were at a Dallas airport, and we just got our teeth kicked in. And we're just like, we just need to get home, reset and all that. Flight gets... Something happened, like we didn't have a flight for that night.
Wow.
So we had to stay and go and find a hotel in Dallas, and it was just different. There's
That's
been a couple
brutal.
Couple crazy stuff like that happened, but you gotta adapt to it, man. It sucks, but you know, it's part of it.
Yeah, and as a player, you don't ever think about that. You're just
never.
Like, oh, it's all figured out for us, and mm-hmm. then to have to, oh wow, that's crazy.
It's crazy.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Best player you ever played against?
Mm-hmm.
It could be a fielder or pitcher or both.
I mean, probably one of the toughest pitchers that I faced throughout my college years was Asa Lacy out of A&M.
Okay.
Big old lefty, 96 and 98, big breaker. He was pretty tough left on left. And then hitter, I mean, played against, I'm trying to think, I don't know. There's been a lot of, you know, players that I've played against and just – who've gone on and, you know, are going up in levels right now in their affiliates and teams. But I just think Nick Gonzalez is one of the best hitters I've ever seen in my life.
For sure.
You know, and I've played against him in high school, so I've seen that. So
yeah,
it's unreal with him.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. So let's see. How did you end up in Carlsbad, by the way? Just side note, you're in Carlsbad helping coach. And all of that stuff. How did that happen?
Yeah, I mean, so my girlfriend's from here, her family's from here. So I came, visited her, was just here, and I was just kind of itching to get on the field. This already had been like maybe 2-3 weeks, and I was like, let me just get on the field. I heard Carlsbad baseball is like pretty legit, and since I've been in Las Cruces for 5 years, so I know like some of the New Mexico high school teams and all that.
Sure.
So, you know, I wanted to get out there. I met the new head coach now, Mike Magaha, and, you know, kind of hit it off pretty well and asked him if I could come, you know, swing it with the guys, you know, take some GBs. Yeah, I went over. And he was like, hey, what do you think about, you know, helping us coach? I mean, and I was like, yeah, like I'd be willing to do this, but like I also need to continue to prepare to get ready for my pro season. And he was like, dude, no worries, man. Like, you got it. You do whatever you need. And I loved it here, man. It's been a cool experience, like, being able to pass knowledge that I've, you know, gained through past coaches. And it's cool that they're barely kind of, like, starting. And some of them are about to take that jump to college baseball, so I could kind of advise them on how, what to expect as a freshman in college. Because it's tough, obviously, with my experience that I've had too. It's like, you're also, you know, you're the guy here in Carlsbad, but there's also 40 more guys who are the guys there at their high schools. 100%, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But it's been cool. I mean, I thank Magaha, Coach Magaha, for this opportunity and stuff, and hopefully it just leads to bigger things. But at the end of the day, like, I'm just getting ready to get back to Colorado.
Yeah. What's the biggest leap, would you say, from high school to college in baseball, and then from college to pro?
Yeah, from high school to college is definitely the maturity. You know, like, there is some freshmen who are just ginormous, you know, 6'2", 200, like, some built dudes. And, like, when I came in as a freshman, I was, like, 5'10", 1, you know, 70, you know? And, like, obviously with how the college weight room works, like, obviously I knew I was going to gain muscle and stuff, but it's like, there's also guys who are already kind of like a step ahead.
Yeah.
And I thought I was a step ahead with still the work that I put in through high school, but it's also a little bit different. Like I've said before, like, everyone is a guy, you know? Uh-huh. And just going from that, I mean, it's not too bad, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then what about from college to pro? Cause you had a chance to play last year.
College to pro, it's more of the everyday thing. It's like, when I got there, it's like, obviously baseball is an everyday thing. Like, you got to get in the cage. Like, you got to do something every single day to continue to get better.
Sure.
And in pro ball, it's like, you're playing every single day. Mm. So you don't have, like, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 3-game series. Then you have Monday through Thursday to kind of figure out your swing and stuff. It's like, from Monday, you play, you got to figure out your swing that night to get ready to get going for the next day. You know what I'm saying? So it was just more of the adjustment. Which it wasn't too bad at first. Like, maybe my first couple like 8 to 10 games were a little bit uncomfortable, but once I kind of settled in and, you know, just trusted, you know, the work that I've put in and trust the player that I've always been, and it just kind of just paid off from there.
Sure.
Yeah.
So with Northern Colorado, were you on a 1-year contract and it's year to year?
Yes.
That's how it works. Cause I saw your graphic that says re-sign. Mm-hmm. You went back to the Owls. Mm-hmm. Tell me about the league and kind of what that entails.
Like, yeah.
Like, what are the ranges of age on your team, too?
Yeah, well, I know. So last year, I think the oldest kid I played against was probably not even kid, man I played against was like 28.
Okay.
But I know they cut it down so much where they want to kind of make the Pioneer like a younger prospect league. Mm-hmm. So I think the age limit now is maybe 25, 25 and a half. Or if you play like two full, I don't really know the exact rules, but it's pretty cutthroat, man. Like, really? they bring you in to perform right away, and if you don't, like, there's always like next man up.
Wow.
You know, and that was one of the things that our head skipper told me over there. He's like, hey, man, we have a hole at second base right now. Like, I need you to come play defense. Like, I need you to come play defense. And my thing was always like, I love to hit, you know, if you hit, you play, you know what I'm saying? So it was more like, okay, like, let's step it up, you know? And it was kind of crazy. My first 100 chances at second base, I went 99 for 100, made one little throwing error, which was kind of pulled them off a little bit, but it was like, they want you to do something. Like, if you do it at the, you know, compete and give it your all at that, what they want at that certain point in time, like, you'll continue to get your chances, you know?
Sure. So, you played a lot of games then, obviously. Yeah. What is the goal here? It's clearly a feeder into getting signed into minor league or major league baseball, right? So, like, have you had any guys on your team that you've seen jump to the next level?
Yeah, there's been not necessarily on my team, but there's been guys on other teams who have taken that jump. And it's pretty crazy because we have some dudes on our team that could easily – that don't belong in Pioneer League baseball.
Really?
Yeah, and should be playing affiliate. Like, you see guys like that, but there's always that something that we don't see that other people might see that we just don't know about. But, it's really – it depends. It depends. Like, if a team is needing something at that point and they go and get a guy there, then, yeah, they'll take him. But it is a feeder to affiliate ball.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me about it. Where is – where's your team in Northern Colorado? And tell me about the facilities.
Yeah, it's in Winslow, Colorado.
Okay.
And we are sponsored by, I think the league is sponsored by Future Legends. Future Legends. And they run our complex. So we're supposed to get a pretty sick stadium coming soon. Because we used to play on all turf, but it was also used for a soccer field. So, like, the lines are kind of, like, throw some people off. But
okay.
We're supposed to get a pretty nice stadium with, like, some retail stores, like, around it. Like, they got some pretty cool stuff cooking up there. And it's a nice little city, fun little city. And it's, like, it's calm, you know. And, like, you're there to handle business. And, you know, that's it.
Yeah. So what's the longest road trip you've gone on in this? Because I had imagined this is pretty rough, too.
Yeah. Honestly, our road trip, so we have two teams in Colorado Springs and Grand Junction, and those drives aren't too bad, and we play them a lot. But I think our longest one, I'm either going to say it was Montana, Billings, or Ogden, Utah. I'm not too sure. Because we played Montana. I'm pretty sure it was Montana.
Do you remember how far it was?
Hours? I think it was like maybe seven.
Oh, that's not
It's not
bad.
Too bad.
No, yeah.
It's not like a crazy like 14, 15 hour. Like it's, yeah. That was our longest drive, and it wasn't bad at all.
No, okay. Mm-hmm. What are your goals going into this season, personally, maybe at the plate, or something that you've maybe worked on the most?
Mm-hmm. I mean, the biggest thing is just continuing, you know, being the player that I am and continue to show just little, you know, improvements here and there, whether that be defense, hitting, you know, just little improvements here and there that are just going to show the different type of player, too, that I can be as well. But other than that, man, just sticking to the process and sticking to what I trust and continue to go from there.
Sure. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to do a little thing called rapid fire. Send you some of these questions so you're ready for them, but we'll do them as quickly as possible, kind of get into it. I might still have some follow-up questions for you, but all right, you ready?
Yeah.
Best cleats of all time.
Best cleats? Well, I'm going to go with Under Armour. The yard cleats, they're just kind of, you know, generic, clean look. But, I mean, the Nikes also look pretty sick, but not as comfy for me.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Best baseball movie?
Best baseball movie? Definitely The Sandlot.
Okay, all right. Favorite pregame meal?
Pregame meal? Some Chick-fil-A.
All right.
Yeah, some Chick-fil-A. Right.
Socks up or down?
I'm a down. Pants
really?
Down.
Really?
Yeah,
I was
going to
say,
I've seen you do both, right? I did a little bit of high socks during New Mexico State, but I just went down the whole time. Yeah.
Flat bill or curved?
Curved.
Okay.
Little curved, yeah.
Pine tar stick, spray, or rag?
Oh, that's funny. We were just talking about this at the field today.
Really?
Yeah. I'm definitely just a pine tar stick.
Okay.
Pine tar stick, get it in there, and it smells good, too. So,
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then best MLB uniform all time?
The new D-backs, the Serpientes jerseys, the little sandy look. They're pretty elite.
Okay, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, throwing it back to the Sox question, whenever I got there, we had, like, it was mandatory. We had no choice.
Yeah.
My first couple years there, that we had to wear our pants up.
Mm-hmm.
And so me having zero calves.
Yeah.
Brutal. Uh-huh. Tape was used heavily.
Yeah, yeah.
But you had to, they'd give you your sanitaries. You got like
three pair.
Uh-huh. And then you have to do your stirrups.
The stirrup.
And they had like the black, the white, and the red.
Did they have the
stripes.
Little logos on the side too?
They didn't.
Oh,
no,
they didn't
we weren't that special yet, you know? And so we had those. And I just remember that was what we had to do no matter what.
Dang.
Like, doesn't matter your preference. And that was what it was. But, and then we also, throwing back to the jerseys that we were talking about earlier, you said you had the black vest.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about Los Aggies.
Yeah.
You guys had a lot of cool stuff. We had the thick
you know, jerseys. Yeah.
So those weren't as comfortable. But I don't know. Some of the newer stuff's pretty cool. The white jerseys. You got to wear the new ones with the Zia symbol on them.
Yeah. The Zia symbol. They brought that in, I think, my fourth year.
Okay.
Coach Zuniga did, and I love the Zia symbol. It just shows, you know, New Mexico and Las Cruces, you know, it just kind of all fits into, like, the university and the city community and stuff. So I thought that was a pretty cool design.
Did you have a favorite hat that you guys wore?
Favorite hat?
Because you guys got quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, the one you're rocking, the camel ones are pretty sick.
Did you guys wear these on the field?
I think we wore them like maybe once my sophomore year.
Okay.
Yeah, once my sophomore year.
Cool.
But the hats are pretty just, you know, straight New Mexico State logo, black crimson, and Oh, we did have a white one. A white one with the, it had a white top, black bill, and it had the black Zia symbol. It was pretty sick. Those are sick. Yeah.
Yeah, all right, cool. You guys got some cool stuff for sure. All right, so moving into what, so we talked about kind of what you want to do this year, what your goal is for this year. In 5 years, where do you see yourself?
In 5 years? I mean, hopefully in 5 years, I really do love this coaching stuff. Like, I really do think I have the knowledge, and I think I could prepare kids well for, you know, for whether that be college ball or pro ball. Like, I do see myself being a Division I coach one day.
Okay.
And whether that be, you know, any Mexico State or anywhere, but I do feel like I have a passion for it, and I really think I could excel in something like that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Awesome. Kevin, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I appreciate it. I enjoyed it a lot.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it, Trey.
Yeah, absolutely. Guys, thanks for watching the podcast. We appreciate it. Today's podcast sponsored by the Lucky Bull Grill. And today, rocking the 7K IPA from Santa Fe Brewing Company. Come on down and try a draft of your choice Monday through Saturday from 11 to 9 p.m. Thank you, guys.